Are you happy?
Amen.
If you are happy, say, praise God.
Praise God.
From whom? That's it. You got it. You got it. If you look in your bulletin, you may see that, or you may think that we have a problem here. Right? You may think that we have a problem here. But my friends, there is no problem. There is no problem. The only problem, we don't have our children here. The only problem is that I am a woman, and our preacher for the day should have been a man. But we are doing the same kind of work. We were chosen, we were called by the same master. You know? And that master could have called you last night at 7 o'clock. But probably the one that I wanted to call, I didn't have the number. So it fell on me. And I know I'm not alone. Not only I know Jesus is with me, because he never said go without him, go first. He always ahead of us. He always goes with us wherever we are going. So not only that, I have Jesus. I know I have you. You are my friends, right? You are my brothers and sisters, right? Forever and ever. I'm praying for you. You're praying for me. We're praying for each other. All right. Let me start, because you know that I like to talk. And I don't think it's a good time to talk. Although we are talking about good things, good positive things. Okay, today is what date? April 23rd. Oh, okay. So it's only me in the la-la land. Because for a minute, you know, it's like I didn't know. Today is the Sabbath of the Lord, the day that the Lord has set apart to be with his children. Set apart, that means that day is very important. Every hour, every minute, every second, every iota of that day is very, very important for a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. Did you hear what I said? I don't know about Christian, all right? Everybody says they are Christian. But we, are we different? If we are different, then we should have a different name. What is our name? Seventh-day Adventist Christian. This is our name. Today is a glorious day. But Elder Ephraim cannot be here with us. And I do believe that many of you have been prayed for his father, his mom, and the rest of the family. I have seen the mother, and I wish I could speak Spanish. I would be with her all the time. She really needs our prayers. She does, you know. But we are not going to stop here. You already answered my question. You are ready for Jesus to come. I have another question. Are you faithful in what you're doing for Jesus? Are you faithful? Are you faithful? You don't know. You're not sure. Yes, you are faithful. You are sitting here because of your faith in Christ Jesus. You could be anywhere else in the world. You could be traveling. You could be laying flat on your bed. You could be sitting in the restaurant. You could be at a cinema. How do you say cinema? Yeah. Cinema. Okay. A movie theater. You could be anywhere else. But because of your faithfulness to Christ, and you are here, and you better be. You better be, because Jesus never forget none of his children. And he said that none of those of that my father gave me, I will lose. No one, no one. We are dear. Jesus cherished us, him the Father, along with the Holy Spirit. Jesus loves you, and that's why you are here. Have you ever seen someone crying inside? How do you know when somebody is crying inside? Tell me. Expression of facial expression? Give me one. Show me one. You know I can't see. That's the way you think. Give me one, a sad expression, a facial expression of somebody who's crying, who is dying inside. No? Okay. So this is something that you don't know. You don't know what's going on. But you don't know what's going on inside of that person. But what would you do seeing someone putting his hand, both hands in his head, and crying profusely and begging and saying, no, I am a man. I am an hopeless man. I am done. I have no life. Nobody wants me. There is no one on earth that I can trust, because to me, to trust anybody, that person has to trust me in return. And if it's not so, there is nobody I can trust. I am myself sitting on the side of the sea, just looking at the sand, counting them. Nobody cares about me. Not even my wife cares about me. In fact, this is the person that I have the most problem. This is the person that hates me the most. My wife. Can't talk to her. Can't go home. If your wife doesn't talk to you, if you cannot trust your wife, if she's against you all the time, no, you can't go home. Can't go home. You have to find a place else to be. What would you say to that person? Forget about the person who's crying inside, but the person who is expressing himself, like, if I can say it, look like crazy person who is about to take his life, not only his, but other people too. Because when he is in this fetch, if you walk across, you never know what would happen to you. What would you say to that person, Seventh-day Adventist Christian? What will be your help? What will be your comfort? What will be your words of consolation? What would be your word of love for that person? Speak to me. Cry with those who cry. Do you know why he's crying? Cry with those who cry. Yes, the Bible says so. What else? Ask him what's wrong. He already told you. I just told you. Nobody loves him. Nobody. He has no one he can trust. Nobody trusts him. Not even his wife. Tell him to come to the Lord. If I am screaming, I mean, I'm not going to hear what you say. Come to the Lord. Be there. Be there.
Just let the person express themselves.
Be there. You don't have to say anything. Just be there. Just be there for him. The last words of that man, his name is Nicholas. The last word he said, I want to die. Because there is nothing, there is no one on this earth for me. Nothing, no one on this earth for me. Be there for him. It's very good. But some people wouldn't accept you to sit with them when they are like that. Some would not accept you. Let's stay on the positive side. You know that if you go and sit with that person, and you can invite that person to a place before you can tell that person about Jesus, tell him that to go to Jesus, you can invite him, you befriended that person, and you know what? In no time, you will win the trust of that person. In no time, you will win the heart of that person. Being there. There are little things in life that we call little. And in reality, they are the humongous, that's the word, right? Humongous, the largest things. But we think that, oh, that's the little thing. That's not going to work. How do you know what will work? Are you God? No, you're not. You're not. God can be you, but you cannot be God. You don't know what's little. You don't know what is big in God's calendar, in God's notebook. You don't know. Give it to the Lord. Befriend that person. While you are praying for that person, pray for yourself. So the Lord will give you all, will give you more strength, because we always have strength. God has given us all the strength that we need. But because we don't put them to use, we find ourselves, instead of thanking the Lord for what he already blessed us with, you know what we do? Give me, Lord. Give me, Lord. Give me strength. Give me love. Give me whatever. Give me job. Give me this. Give me that. And yet, the Lord already gave us all these things. Lord, enlarge my territory. Lord, here I am. Use me. And you are the Sabbath school teacher. You are an elder. And you are this, you are that. Now I'm talking about me now. And you are not doing the work that God gives you, but you're asking more. God gives us everything that we ever needed. Do we believe that? Yes, do we believe that? Yes. Don't we have everything? Every single thing. The thing that we are asking for, they are right at our feet. We just have to open our eyes and say, oh, Jesus, thank you. Our prayer could be formulated another way. Instead of, Jesus, I would love to do this, I would love to do that, do it. You have the power. Didn't Jesus say that he has all the power in heaven and in earth? Yes. Are you God's children? Then you have this power. And I invite you to open your Bible, please. In the book of 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. And the theme of our talk is just as you are. Just as you are. It's not just as I am. I turn it to you. Just as you are. Come to Jesus. Just as you are. And then we'll talk about how do you come. Because we've already. Okay? But before we start read our, in our Bible, let us have a word of prayer. Somebody here wants to pray for me? I invite someone from the congregation to pray for me, please. Thank you so much. Thank you. Let's open our Bible. 1 John 3, chapter 1. Chapter 3, 1 John 3, verses 1 through 3. You got it? Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. Who us? We are children of God. Behold what manner of love the Lord has bestowed unto us. And then, continue on. That we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Number two, beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he appeared, we shall be how? Just like him. For we shall see him as he is. And anyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Now, my friend Nicholas didn't know these Bible verses. I believe he didn't know these Bible verses. And I think if we look around us, we will realize that we have many Nicholases around among us. We have people who never heard of salvation. Where do they hear it? But they don't know what it means. And these are Nicholases. Because the words that he used, can a Christian use those words? The words that Nicholas used? Nobody cares for me. Nobody wants me. I can't trust nobody because nobody trusted me. No. No. If we are Christian, we are children of the Almighty God. And if children of God is not enough, God has bestowed his love upon us. And we know that. God does not love like you and I. God's love is something special. God's love is something that we cannot even start to think about to understand God's love. Can we? No, we cannot understand God's love. This is why he is calling us children. I've seen some fathers here. Do you know how proud sometimes you see the fathers? They like to talk about their daughters. They really, once in a while, yes, you find a father will talk about a son. But the fathers, they want everybody to know all about their daughters. It matters not whether they are good or bad. That's their daughter. They don't care. They want to talk about their daughters. And we are human fathers. Can you believe how much God loves us? Can you believe how much God wants to talk about us to other people? Can you believe how long God is waiting to introduce us to the rest of the universe? He is ready to introduce us to the rest of the universe. When you see someone in the morning, you say, good morning. What came back to your mind? This is a child of God. It doesn't matter how it dress. It doesn't matter how that person looks. It doesn't matter how it talks or she talks, how he walks or she walks. This is a child of God. Because let's read it. That we should call children of God. Anybody who hears those words is considered a child of God. Because God made no exception. No. We are just, the thief on the cross was just like the rest of the Jews that was standing, staring at Jesus. Just like them. And that man was on the cross. I'm sure he was a criminal. Because this is the punishment of the criminal. They crucified you. It is not for me. It is not for you to qualify you to be a child of God. You've been qualified. Somebody say something? You are qualified already. By God. You are qualified already by the blood of the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. You are qualified already by Jesus Christ who died, who gave his life. He didn't die in his bed, sleeping, on the cross, up on the cross. No reason. People talk a lot about the cross, right? But they don't talk about the sepulcher. They talked about the cross. But you know, had Jesus been on the cross right now, there would be no salvation for you and I. Am I right? If Jesus should have been on the cross right now, still crucified, there wouldn't be no salvation. No for you, no for me. Sometimes we need to look down, not up all the time. It's good to look at the cross, but we need to look down. The sepulcher is what?
Empty.
The sepulcher is empty. That means Jesus is not there. If he's not on the cross, if he's not in the sepulcher, where could he be? Remember when the women came early in the morning? Where could he be? Where could Jesus be? The only place he could be is in heaven. He went back where he came from. So I'll invite you sometimes to look down and to see where Jesus is. It says here that when Jesus appeared, we shall be exactly as he is. Do we know how Jesus is? We don't know. We just see pictures. These pictures are not Jesus' pictures. You know, just a picture of a man, but not Jesus. We will be just like he is. And then he will reveal to us what we will be. What we will be, what we shall be, is not, we don't even know. We don't even know what we will be when Jesus comes, when we see him. I have never heard such a good news, such a promise. We are children of God. And that is just the beginning, my friend. That is just the beginning. We are not even sure of what we will become. But no matter what happens, we are going to see King Jesus as he really is. We are going to see King Jesus exactly how he really is. And if that is not enough, the Apostle John says, we are going to be just like him. Jesus was God, created perfect with the Father. Jesus was not a creature. He is the creator. He created the heaven and the earth and all that therein. How am I going to be like Jesus? How am I going to resemble Jesus? You see, there is a passage in the Bible that tells that. After Jesus went out to heaven, the disciples, they took over the streets. We know that in Acts. And you know how many people were baptized? 3,000 men, apart from women and children. But when they look at the appearances, when they look at the way they were talking, what they were saying, the work that they were doing, do you remember what they said? These men are unlearned men. How could they know these things they are talking about? They have been with whom? Are you afraid of talking? They have been, oh, go ahead. They have been with whom? They have been with Christ. They have been with Christ. They resemble Christ. They talk like him. They act like him. How about us? After we open those doors and take the road to go home, can somebody say that we have been with Christ? Yes. Yes. It should be. That's the way it should be. Because we are his followers. We are children of the Almighty God. If we are children of God, that means we are Jesus' brother. And Jesus said, I will give you all the power that you need to do the work that I want you to do. But Jesus promises that soon and very soon, something is going to happen. The world will turn upside down. My friend, if you are not a child of God, do you know where your place will be? No, there will be no place for you. There will be no place for you. Because apart from this earth, what is next? Heaven. Heaven. And if you cannot go with Jesus, no one can take you. The blood of Jesus, this is the blood of Jesus that qualifies us to be in heaven. This is the blood of Jesus that qualifies us to be a Christian. This is the blood of Jesus that gives you the privilege to be sitting here in this church right now. Not your works. Not the works of your mother. Not because your mother was a great, great mother, like Timothy's mother. Not because your father was the first pastor of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. No, no. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. He's the one that carried the cross. And you know who else he carried? You and me. He carried us in his back. People could see the crucifix, the made of wood, but they couldn't see behind that. Jesus carried you and I on his back. And what do we say to that? Let's say amen. That's all we can say. Let's say amen, praise God, thank you, Jesus, because nobody could have done that for us. Have you ever heard anybody who gave their lives for anybody? No. I haven't heard anything like that. No. But Jesus, the man for all men, the man for all time, gave his life for you and I. Just read those verses. It's make me so happy to know that God cares about us. To know that God puts so much emphasis on us. So much work, so much blessing. Everything that the Lord do, say, think is for us, is about us. Everything is about us. How about us? Do we think of God the same way God thinks about us? Do we love God the same way he loves us? Do we? I know you cannot see God. But how about all the Nicholases that surround you? How about them? At this very minute, we are sitting here. I hope I wouldn't have to say what I'm going to say. There is at least one Nicholas in that room. At this very moment. There is someone who are going through some trials, some challenges right in that room. Nobody says nothing. Right in that room. At least we have one. Let us pray. Please bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for this opportunity that we could come before you in prayer. We are interceding, Lord, for that person or those people who are here. Whatever the help, whatever the situation, Father God, whatever the tragedy in their lives that we cannot know, whatever the burdens that are too heavy that they cannot bury, help them to remember that, or her or him, that you said, come unto me, you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For your yoke is easy and your burden light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Not every day you'll find people in the streets who are happy or unhappy. But these people, they have a way of hiding the problems. They have a way of concealing the pain. It is impossible for us to see. Human eye, human thought, cannot pierce the heart of these people to see what they are going through. But I am telling you, they are around us all over. When you see someone in the streets, please, don't pass by. Don't just go away. If you can, stay and say a word. When you see that person, if you cannot talk to that person, say a word of prayer. Give a smile. And if that person will accept a handshake to the next person who's getting out of the elevator, if it will accept, that will heal you inside. At that moment, you would know that you have shared not only your burden, but your love with someone. That person reaching home can do nothing else than think about your face. That face who had smiled to him or her. That face who would take time and said, "Hi, how you doing? Good morning. Have a great day. God bless you." They can't forget you. And that one word, that one gesture, one handshake, could make it possible for you one day to be sitting at Jesus' feet with that person or those people. Be open. Jesus was a very open guy. He went everywhere. He spoke to women. He spoke to men. Children, he embraced them. The old folks, like me, he knows how to talk to them. You see? We serve a living God. We are living people. Whether we live or whether we die, we are children of God. And we possess most all the characteristics that the Lord has. Don't sit here like innocent. I already know you are innocent because you are child of God, children of God. Everybody knows that you are innocent because you have accepted Jesus. The way to salvation. Do you hear what I said? The way to salvation. But salvation has two ways. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? No, you don't. I'm not ashamed. I'm not afraid to ask you a question. There are two ways to salvation. Way number one, John 3:16. Can we say it together? Let's go. God so loved the world that he did what? He gave his only son, that whosoever accept him, whosoever take him, shall have what? You have everything. You have every single thing that pertains to God. Once you accept Jesus, you know, the word acceptance is like believe. Once you accept Jesus, because you need to accept it. You need to accept Jesus. For everybody will see that you have accepted Jesus as your personal Savior. It's not something that could be done, you know, in private. People have to see. But the second part, what is the second part? God gives his only son that whosoever, the first part is unconditional. Is it conditional? The first part is unconditional. I need nothing from you. I'm just giving you my son. Nothing. But what is your part? To accept it. Accept it. If you don't accept him, can you have him? You cannot. You cannot. The second part is conditional. You will have eternal life in one condition if you accept, if you believe in my son. Uh, I hope that you don't trust what I said, but you go to the Bible. Because I know, and many, many, many people have been coming to me with this question. And there are other questions too. Why do people think that salvation is unconditional? It is unconditional on God's part. But on our part, there is a condition established. If you don't accept that, whomsoever, the Bible doesn't say that you can accept them if you want to. But if, the word if you accept them, whosoever accept him will have eternal life. Is that clear, my friends? Okay. Many times we talked about the gospel. You know, there are people who said that. I've heard it, and it was addressed to me sometimes. I believe in the gospel. Sometimes people ask me the question. I believe in the gospel, right? Okay. What you believe? I believe in the gospel. I go to this church, to that church, and that church, my church, believes in the gospel. All right. There is nothing wrong with that. That's right. But what is the gospel? Amen. But what is the gospel? What is the gospel? That's what it is. That's who it is. The gospel is Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's what he did, right? He suffered. He went on the cross. He died. He was buried and resurrected. This is the gospel. This is the gospel. Let's put it, the four pillars of our faith. The four pillars of our faith. That's the reason why I said, if Jesus were to be on the cross at this moment, there would be no salvation for us. I believe the cross stand erect, wherever it is. But the tomb is not there. It's empty. It's empty. Let's see. Let's go to Prophet Isaiah. To the Prophet Isaiah. Chapter 53 and verse 6. You have it? Please, can somebody share it with us? Well, this is what happened. We all want to do whatever we want to do. We want to say whatever we want to say. Don't pay any attention of what God says. Don't pay any attention of what God wants. That's God's problem, not my problem. God puts me on earth. He is obligated to take care of me. But me, I don't want to have no part with him. Do you know? Some children on this earth say that to their parents every single day. You owe me. You are obligated. I didn't ask you to bring me here. But aren't we Christian behave like that too? When we go ahead and follow our ways, forget about God. Forget about God's word. But you know, God still loves us. All the promises that he made it to all of his children, his creature. All his creature. Because God is a loving Father. The same way he created you, he is planning on coming to gather all his children home with no exception. The only problem is your willingness to go with him. If you don't want to go with him, that's okay. That's okay. But what God is saying to us, you see today, enjoy today, work for the day, for tomorrow is not promised to you. And soon and very soon, the words that people have been saying, it's in the Bible, all our forefathers have been saying that for long years ago, that Jesus is coming. The world will be surprised. The world will be surprised. But we, Christian, we are not children of darkness. Are we? Are we children of darkness? We are children of light. We are children of light. Many people are saying, but when is Jesus coming? Have you read in the Bible, when is this, when is that? No, it's not for you to know. God gives us all the signs that we need to know to put ourselves together. And more, he gives us his Holy Spirit 24/7. We have no problem. God leave no stone unturned regarding our salvation. Jesus paid it all, and thank you. My friends, our salvation is a done deal. Our salvation is secure, assured. By whom? By the blood of Jesus. We have nothing to fear except our relationship with Christ. Because if you don't love Christ, you cannot love his Father. You cannot love the Holy Spirit. These three cannot be separated. Cannot be separated. We know that there are people who would like to become Christian. But because they heard so many things which are not true, this morning, I would like to invite, is it morning? No? To invite each one of you here to make a decision to go out. Sitting here is beautiful. You look beautiful here. But you will look more beautiful outside. Talking to someone that who has never met Christ. Someone that you've never in your life. Tell the person, what is the gospel? It's not a what. Who is the gospel? People are dying. God has a household full out there. He wants us to go and bring the children to make his church complete. He said he would not lose not one of them, not even one. Our responsibility today is not to say that Jesus is coming. Oh, yes, Jesus come. Our responsibility is to say, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. He's calling you. It's not easy. If we are thinking of embark in this work by ourselves, on our name. But do you know? In the name of Jesus, everything is possible. In the name of Jesus, sit and tremble and run. In the name of Jesus, the person that you would think that could never set foot in this church will be the first thing you see when you come next Sabbath. All you need to do is pray. Pray. It is good to pray for someone because you are happy knowing that somebody's praying for you. Jesus said, go to all nations in the earth. Every people, not only here in Wayne or in the United States. We have enough of missionaries here. Jesus says to go in the remote places where people haven't seen people. They want to see you. They want to hear your voice. Remember what Peter did? It wasn't Peter. You should have corrected me. What the Holy Spirit used Peter to do, the same work could be accomplished. The Holy Spirit could accomplish this work with you today. My friend, I don't want to take you, to hold you any longer. It is time for you to go. But my last word to you today is to be a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. I am going to ask you to do two things. To meditate until you can't no more on this chapter. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, especially verse 2. And Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. Please go home, study those verses, and share them with people, with your friends. You know, time is running out. It's getting late. And Jesus is coming. As the song said, are you ready? Are you ready to go with Christ? Because as I said before, if you are not ready to go with Christ, there will be no place for you. You can't go to heaven. You can't stay here. There will be no place for you. You are going to be with you know who. You know whom, I don't have to say it. I want to remind you that Jesus loves you so much that I don't think he wants to spend another year without you. He knows that. He is seeing you. You right now sitting in the palm of his hand, but you cannot see him. And I know you would love to see Jesus. If it is your desire to see Jesus coming in the cloud, as it says in Revelation, why would you want to stand? Stand. And we can never tell Jesus we love him too much, too many times. Let us say to Jesus, thank you, dear Jesus. We love you. For you've... Nobody can say that with me, no? Oh, thank you, dear Jesus. We love you, our Savior, our King. We are waiting for you to come. Because we are not getting ready, but we are ready. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. And thank you for this day. We pray in your name. Amen. Thank you.